Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Wherever you may be, this is the Touch 'Em All podcast. As usual, we are your hosts, Mario.
And Rafi.
Rafi is back in studio with us today. Kind of a interesting week in baseball, don't you think?
Yeah, exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff. Let's jump right into it. Today we're going to do a little bit of, around the league news as we usually do. And then we're also going to get into our top 10 DHs and our top 40 outfielders. For the 2011 fantasy season. So without any more hesitation, let's jump right into it. Rafi, what's the big story in baseball that got out to you this week?
Well, to me, it was the retirement of Andy Pettitte. I think surefire Hall of Famer there. I don't know about first ballot, but definitely will be in there.
See, I have to disagree with you there. I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, and I had a conversation with one of my friends about this the other day. He had the HGH issue or whatever, but you know what? What set him apart from all the other guys during that era was that he owned up to it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't, the fact that he did own up to it, and I know the writers can be a pain sometimes or whatever it may be, but I think the fact that he owned up to it really helps him out in getting into the Hall
Making
of Fame.
Making the decision.
Possibly on a first ballot. Major League best 19 career postseason wins. I mean, it's kind of hard to argue against it.
I mean, I kind of just said it just for argument's sake. I mean.
And there you go. You sparked the argument.
Yeah.
There you go. So, and that's what we're here for.
I will have to agree with you on that. I mean, he's, like you said, led Major League. Postseason wins, and I think he's synonymous with just the Yankees, just like Babe Ruth and Joe DiMaggio and Derek Jeter, and you can go on and on. Andy Pettitte is one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100%. Staying in the American League for a minute, and staying with the Yankees, interesting signings. After 13 years in Oakland, mm-hmm. Eric Chavez signs a minor league deal with the Yankees, and so does Ronnie Belliard. What are we taking from this?
I think it just gives Chavez a chance to play in a reserve role. Obviously, he's not going to be starting with A-Rod at third base, but I think he's at a point in his career where he's going to have to settle for whatever he can get, and at this point, it's going to be a backup, left-handed, bat-off-the-bench type of guy. Who can help out both off the bench and on defense. And with Belliard, a little bit of the same. I mean, he's had both as a starter and as a reserve in Major League Baseball. So with Belliard, I could see him make the team. Same with Chavez. They both look like they can make the team, but, we'll see how spring training shakes up.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing is
Jim Edmonds.
Jim Edmonds, going back to the Cardinals. And I'm trying to find here it is. Okay, so he signs a minor league contract with the Cardinals. He has 393 career home runs, 241 of which are with the Cardinals.
Okay.
You think this is going to be a good homecoming for him?
I don't know because that outfield looks crowded. With Berkman, Rasmus, Holiday, John Jay, and now you're going to add Edmonds in there. Not to mention, Stavanoa, but I don't think he'll stand in Edmonds' way. But
it'll be interesting to see if maybe they put it as a little competition with Lance Berkman.
That should be interesting. I mean, they both have something to prove here in spring training, so... Edmonds does have a shot at a roster spot here.
Right. The other thing with the Cardinals is Dan Lozano, Albert Pujols' agent, came out and said this week that they're giving the Cardinals a deadline to get a contract done before the season starts. If they don't get it done, they're not going to talk about it till after the season's over.
Right.
What this tells me is if the Cardinals don't get this done now before spring training, I think their chances of keeping Pujols drop dramatically. I think if he's allowed to test the free agent waters, he's going to get a ton of money somewhere else. Somebody, maybe a San Diego who just lost Adrian Gonzalez, could be in the market for an Albert Pujols. Maybe the Florida Marlins make some kind of trade if they're willing to up their payroll to $100 million. Or, you know, I don't know.
Or the Mets again.
The Mets, who maybe they're not confident in Ike Davis being their first baseman.
I mean, if I had an option between Pujols and Ike Davis, I think I'd go with Pujols.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think if I had an option between Pujols and anyone, I'd take Pujols any day of the week. excuse me. The other big story is Vladimir Guerrero going to the Orioles, $8 million. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about this on the show, and we talked about how, you know, it was an $8 million offer from another team. The Orioles were only offering somewhere in the $3 to $5 million range. So this kind of comes as a surprise, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like, you know, the Orioles are kind of iffy on it, and so you had the Rays on the periphery there, and then, you know, the Rangers were still kind of like, I guess, testing the water to see how it goes, but they had already had their team built, so didn't look much of a possibility of Vlad landing in Texas. So it was kind of like a mystery, and then, he ends up signing with the Orioles, and wow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. The other guy that signed with the Orioles is Justin Dusher.
Uh-huh.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
When I talked about this earlier this offseason about the Orioles, the thing that was lacking was starting pitching. And although Dukeshire has injury problems, hasn't been healthy for much of his career, if he could put it together this year, they have a formidable 1-2 punch with Dukeshire and
Brian Mattis?
No. Wow.
Jeremy Guthrie?
Thank you. Jeremy Guthrie. And, it's a nice 1-2 punch, and you add Mattis in there, and Arrieta, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I think they'll at least give fits to the Orioles, the Yankees. I mean, I'm sorry. The Red Sox, the Yankees.
Yeah.
And, that's a competitive division. They all look good out there. So, it's one of those things that you just have to let the season play out. You know, things happen.
No, I agree. And I think the Orioles are going to be a very formidable foe in the American League East this year.
Right.
And like I've said before, I think the American League East is the one division that where every team has a shot to finish 500 this year. Although I don't think anybody in the Orioles rotation is going to finish with an ERA under 4, but, you know, if they can be serviceable, you know, who knows. The other kind of quiet story this week was Mark Kotze goes to the Brewers.
Yeah, that one, interesting. I thought the Marlins should have, tried to sign him, and they might have, but he ends up with the Brewers, and that's a good fit, you know. Gives him a little liability with Prince Fielder. Can back him up. Maybe play a little outfield.
Yeah, could be.
Left-handed bat off the bench. Before the signing, they had Brandon Boggs as their left-handed hitting outfielder off the bench. So I think it's a minor upgrade there
with
Kotze.
And what do you think about the fact that the the Marlins get Greg Dobbs?
I like it, actually. It's funny, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, the Phillies got Glode from us, so now we have Dobbs from them. And
yeah, but we did take Wes Helms back a couple of years
that's
ago.
That's true.
So, I think we've got one on the Phillies now.
Yeah, and Dobbs is an interesting signing because, you know, last year, his year wasn't that, you know, he was designated for assignment a couple times by the Phillies, but before that, he was a pinch-hitting machine, you know?
Yeah, I think I remember in 2009, last year was kind of a down year for him pinch-hitting, but I think overall, he was a pretty good pinch-hitter in 2009, and it just kind of surprises me that, well, it doesn't surprise me that the Phillies would let a guy like him go. They can, you know, they could always pick up somebody like that to fill that role in free agency, as hard as it is,
right,
to fill that lefty bat off the bench because everybody needs one.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's interesting, you know, kind of sticking with the National League East here, is the whole, and this is not, this is only baseball related because it involves, you know, Wilpon and Katz from the Mets, the brass, the ownership, and the whole Ponzi scheme thing with Bernie Madoff, and how they're the trustee for Bernie Madoff's, the victims of Bernie Madoff, if you will, are going after him for going after them for $300 million. But here's the interesting thing about that is they're going after them for $300 million that they cashed out, you know, from their investments with Bernie Madoff. They thought that they were getting their, you know, that they were getting profits back, not someone else's money.
Right.
And they ended up paying taxes on that money. So the interesting thing is now you're going to go after these guys for $300 million that they paid taxes on already. How does the IRS handle that? I mean, not baseball related, but business related in a field that I'm in. So dealing with finance. So it just kind of merged my two interests there. But anyway, let's jump into DH because, DH, you know, you got some guys there that are going to be, you know, solid contributors at DH. And I don't know that many people, you know, draft a DH or pick up a DH or even use a DH. Because if you have that utility spot, if your league uses a DH, great, you know, kudos to you. And we're here for you. We got your back. Don't worry about it. If I had to, you know, if I'm looking at this ranking now, I see, you know, Adam Lind, David Ortiz, Vlad Guerrero, Luke Scott, Jim Thome, Matsui, Dan Johnson, Jack Cuss, Travis Hafner, and Juan Miranda. Although Juan Miranda will only be utility eligible to start the season.
Right.
So, what do you think of this list?
Well, first and foremost, when you draft a DH, you're going to draft home runs. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I don't think you're really going for anything else there.
Right.
And the guys that, you know, the top six guys on this list are, you know, going to get you those home runs.
Exactly.
Guys like Adam Lind, although he didn't have a great home run year last year compared to 09.
But he has the capability.
Yeah, and I think he's going to bounce back. David Ortiz, you know, we know he's a slow starter, but, you know, once he gets going,
he picks it up, and the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, and then you got Vlad.
This is an interesting one. In Baltimore, now that Vlad signed with the Orioles, what happened? Luke Scott looks to be moving to left field. He just lost outfield eligibility, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll probably regain that eligibility in the outfield.
Right.
And so now you're going to have him, I think, more for an outfield, but you can have him at utility. And so I guess you don't have to, I guess, with Luke Scott, since he's outfield eligible, you can use him in the outfield and utility. And as far as in Minnesota, it's an interesting with Jim Thome. He hit 25 home runs last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Now, the problem there was that Justin Morneau was out for a significant amount of time. So you had Kadire move into first base, Jason Kubel in right field, and Thome at DH. Now that Morneau is back, you're going to have Kubel at DH, Kadire in right field. What happens to Jim Thome?
Right, he's going to lose some at-bats there.
Definitely.
So, I mean, we'll see. Definitely, you know, maybe run with a two-headed monster in Kubel and Thome, or keep Thome on your... I think Tomey's a good bench guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he does get that spot start at DH, I mean, he's going to produce for you.
Definitely.
Even if it's 10 or 15 home runs, whatever. You know, to fill a slot on one of your off days. Matsui goes, you know, Matsui's now with the Athletics, and he's going to be hitting in the middle of a very good order, I think. I think he's going to get not only the home runs, I think the Coliseum, although it's spacious, he's a lefty, and I think the right field wall is pretty fair for home runs. He's going to get, you know, he's going to get a good amount of, you know, home runs, maybe see an uptick in the RBIs.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be hitting in the middle of a good order.
Definitely.
I think he's a good play this year, I think, honestly. He's gonna be playing the DH spot every day.
Right.
He's got Kurt Suzuki there to translate for him. And so we'll see what happens. And I think Matsui's a good play this year. The other guy on this list, Dan Johnson, who's kind of starting the lower tier of this list.
Yeah.
Do you see him splitting maybe with like a Matt Joyce at DH?
Well,
or more of a Kelly Shopik?
Well, the Rays have Manny Ramirez now.
Yeah.
At DH. So with Dan Johnson, he could see some time at first base.
Yeah, but I don't know that Manny's going to be playing every day.
He might be playing, what, 3-4 times a week?
Yeah, so that's still a significant number of at-bats available.
Yeah, I mean, you could see him at DH. You can also see Matt Joyce, and I think that the DH spot will be a rotation of guys,
yeah. So maybe you might want to stay away from a guy like a Dan Johnson.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, these guys. I mean, at DH now, you're digging pretty deep.
Yeah.
You know, looking at Jack Cuss, Travis Hafner, and Juan Miranda, you're digging pretty deep there. I think.
Yeah, Juan Miranda is now with the Diamondbacks, so he won't be seeing any DH time.
Yeah.
But you know, with Hafner, he used to be up there in DH, and has just fallen off the map, and so I wouldn't necessarily go for Hafner unless.
The one guy who I think will be an interesting play for a DH or utility role is Vernon Wells.
Okay.
He's going to LA.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's in the twilight of his career. He's probably not going to be playing the field much anymore. I think they're going to start using him more as a DH, particularly with the loss of Mike Napoli.
Yeah, you have Vernon Wells out there, Bobby Abreu, who's also kind of up there in age, 37 years old. And
still stole like 20 bases last year.
24, that's ridiculous.
That's insane.
And the guy, you know, will be splitting, I guess, in the outfield and DH. And I think just like in Tampa, there'll be a rotation of DHs in Anaheim.
Yeah. So let's jump into outfield, because outfield is interesting this year. There's a lot of power in the top tier guys.
Yeah.
But after that, after about the top 15 or 20, mm-hmm. there's a big drop off in power in the outfield.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I mean, if you go through, your top 20,
uh-huh.
Number 20 is Mike Stanton.
Okay.
Mike Stanton hit 22 home runs in what, like 4 months last year?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Ridiculous.
He's projected 36 this year. The only guys on this list that aren't, surefire power guys
mm-hmm.
in the top 20 are, I would probably say, Ichiro.
Right.
Alex Rios, although he hit a lot of home runs last year, I don't know what his career home run numbers are.
I think he averages in like the mid-20s, if I'm not mistaken.
BJ Upton has not been the home run machine that we thought he was.
Right.
Carl
Crawford is another one who...
Carl Crawford hit, like, 13 home runs last year, though.
Yeah.
And stole, what, 47 bases?
Mm-hmm.
So he's number one for me. Him and Braun are number one. Carlos Gonzalez, although he had a monster year and was definitely the top-rated player in fantasy last year.
Yeah.
It's too soon to give him the reins. I think, if we see another year... like the one he had last year, maybe obviously not to the ridiculousness that he hit last year, hitting three, whatever it was.
Right.
And, all the home runs and the steals and all that. And although we'd like to see that every year, I think if he can, kind of get some level of consistency,
yeah,
I think that has more value in the long run and it'll give us a better idea. Matt Holliday is another, 20-plus home run guy. Josh Hamilton. Matt Kemp is a 25-25 threat every year.
Yeah.
Although he had kind of a down year last year, he went on some tears, though, where he was just rattling off home runs
mm-hmm.
And stealing a bunch of bases. But the average wasn't there last year.
No.
He hit like 250 last year.
Same with Justin Upton last year. He was, I guess, ranked top 3, top 4 in fantasy.
Yeah, and then like a Carlos Gonzalez this year.
Right.
Is Carlos Gonzalez is going to be 2011's Justin Upton.
Yeah.
And I hope not. I don't. And the other guy that's interesting on this list, not a huge power guy, is Hunter Pence and Jacoby Ellsbury. Typically not huge power guys, but are in this list, I think, because of the steals. And Pence, more of the consistency.
Consistency, RBI, average.
And I think now that, you know, Berkman's gone, I think Pence is going to have to shoulder a lot of the load, especially with Carlos Lee kind of in the twilight. Yeah. But you've got guys like Chris Johnson and Anil Walker coming up. And right, Anil Walker plays.
Brett Wallace.
Brett Wallace, that's what his name is. Anil Walker plays for the Pirates.
Yeah.
There we go. See, I was in the right division. Yeah. I just couldn't get the right team.
Close enough,
right? I think with the rise of a guy like a Chris Johnson and a Brett Wallace, you have a good young core there with those two guys. You have Hunter Pence and you have Michael Bourne in the outfield, who's going to be a Gold Glover and a huge speed threat.
Exactly.
With
Ellsbury, I think if obviously health permitting, he should be back on track. He had 70 steals in 2010.
No, 2009.
Yes.
Yeah, 2010 he was injured.
Yeah, there we go.
Hurt me big time in fantasy last year.
So, that's a lot of stolen bases to be had there. And if he's healthy, I think he'll hover on those same numbers. Especially with that lineup now that includes Crawford and Gonzalez. He'll definitely help you in both. Yeah. Well, in I think three categories.
Yeah, we may see him do a straight steal at home again this year.
Yeah.
Could be. Crazy things. I'd like to see Crawford and him do like a double steal. Like third base,
awesome.
Steal third and home.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty cool. The Marlins did that last year with Cody Ross and Cameron Maybin.
Uh-huh.
That was fun. That was fun. That was an exciting play to watch, actually. Anyway. So that kind of rounds out the top 20. Andre Ethier's on this list as well, and BJ Upton kind of near the bottom of the top 20.
Andre Ethier, he started off red hot and then kind of cooled off.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying triple crown threat.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole nine yards, and he just kind of fizzled.
Right, and I guess we'll have to see this year whether...
And I don't think Upton ever really got it going last year.
No, he never did.
I mean, I think that shoulder is still not right.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he gets it right because he's a 20-20-30-30 threat easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's look on this 21-40 list because there's a lot of guys on this 21-40 list that actually, you know what? Let's talk about Mike Stanton for a second because we've gotten to see a lot of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw his first home run. It was actually here on my birthday, which was kind of nice and he got under that ball. It was a Matt Garza pitch, bases loaded. He got under that ball, and he still just killed it.
It's funny. Throughout the season, Tommy Hutton, Marlins play-by-play guy, saying that Mike Stanton's going to hit some by accident. Swing the bat through, and the ball's going to fly out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it's really impressive to watch a guy like him swing the bat because – he swings with it's so natural. It just seems like it's so natural for him. He's got such a fluid swing, and he's so strong. He's incredibly strong, and I think he's going to be a guy to watch as maybe a potential top 10 if he can if he can get the average.
Oh, for sure.
If he can get the average into the 275 range, maybe steal 10 or 15 bases, which he can because he's fast enough.
Uh-huh.
The home runs and the RBIs are going to be there. For him to be a top 10 guy. So I don't see him, to me, top 20 is no stretch at all. I have no problem seeing him finish in the top 20. Top 10, I think, is a definite possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jason Hayward's another guy to mention there as well. If he gets,
I
think Jason Hayward was hurt by the injury, and he's a very Mike Stanton type player, and they have
right.
a very similar build in that they're both tall, lean, very powerful hitting guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think another guy to watch in the outfield is going to be Desmond Jennings. I don't know about fantasy stud right now because of, the fact that Johnny Damon's there now. But,
right.
Should one of those guys in the outfield get hurt, I think you're going to see Desmond Jennings get a shot. So, but anyway, let's round up. Let's keep going here because there's some guys that I think are going to be guys to watch. And I think it's going to be Curtis Granderson. It's going to be Grady Sizemore. It's going to be... Torii Hunter. are guys to watch. Torrey Hunter's a consistent guy. 2010, he hit 281 with 76 runs, 23 homers, 90 RBIs, and 9 steals. 2009, he hit 299 with 74 runs, 22 home runs, 90 RBIs, and 18 steals. The big difference from 09 to 2010 is going to be the average and the steals. But all other things considered, you know, pretty even.
He's pretty consistent.
Fairly consistent.
Year in and year out.
And a guy that I think maybe should not be ranked in the 30s. I think maybe should be ranked a little higher. And Brett Gardner is another one who I think the problem with him was, you know, was he going to get regular at-bats and where is he going to play? But, I mean, he's got speed on par with guys like Carl Crawford and Jacoby Ellsbury. I think last year he stole
47
last year, and he hit for like 280, 290, and scored 100 runs.
He just needed a chance to play.
Yeah, he's a guy that needs a chance to play, and I hope the Yankees realize that because he's a tremendous talent. And in that park, it's good for him.
A guy to also keep an eye on is Jason Bay.
You think he's going to bounce back this year?
With numbers of 6 home runs, 47 RBI, 10 steals with a 259 average, with a guy like Jason Bay who averages about 30 home runs and 100 RBI, you'd think that, you know, the numbers will improve. But that ballpark really ruined him.
Well, you know what, though? It really, the first year that David Wright played in that ballpark, it ruined him, too. He hit 10 home runs. The average was there, but he hit 10 home runs, and, you know, his other numbers across the board were down. And then last year, just a resurgence. So, you know, you could be onto something there with Jason Bay. It could be the same thing.
A guy like, well, we had mentioned Bobby Abreu. He's 37, and he still is getting his stolen bases in there. And, you know, he won't hurt you in average, won't hurt you in home runs, RBI. I mean, he's somebody that I feel gets overlooked.
Yeah, no, definitely.
On draft day, and that's, I'm not saying draft him in, you know, second round, third round, but I am saying keep an eye on him. And a guy like Juan Pierre, I mean, quietly, because I really didn't notice, 68 steals last year with the White Sox compared to 30 last the year before with the Dodgers in limited time. And, you know, he's going to get you runs, he's going to get you average, he's going to get you steals. That's, you know, if you have, you know, power from your first base, third base, second or shortstop positions, then maybe a guy like Juan Pierre fits your lineup.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that there's going to be a lot of speed in the outfield, and you don't need to necessarily, you know, get your speed in the infield.
Right.
I mean, if you want to get your power in the infield, go for it, because there's a lot of speed. I mean, you guys have guys like Juan Pierre, Michael Bourne, Jacoby Ellsbury, Carl Crawford, Brett Gardner. I mean, on and on. There's a bunch of 20 steal guys, and if you can stack your outfield with those guys, you know, guys that are gonna hit, that aren't gonna hurt your batting average, then you're good. I mean, I think another guy to watch is Austin Jackson.
Definitely.
And Rajay Davis. Rajay Davis stole 50 bases last year,
mm-hmm.
And that was up from 41 in 2009. So there's no reason that he can't do that again.
Right. We talked about Brett Gardner getting playing time. How about Angel Pagan and Andres Torres? Pagan of the Mets, 37 steals last year with playing time. And Andres Torres with the Giants, 26 steals with playing time. So, to me, their ability's there. They just need that playing time.
Yeah, I think Andres Torres and Angel Pagan could be, you know, maybe flukes.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, if Jason Bay's back and Beltran's back, I don't know. I mean, where's Pagan going to play? Is he going to play right field?
Yeah, I think they penciled him in right. And, you know, with the ability like that, you can't, just like Brett Gardner, I mean, you can't just, unless you have a legitimate reason or a better player out there, you can't just cast him off into the bench.
I agree, and I think Brett Gardner does need to play every day.
Yeah.
In the outfield, you know, I think the Yankees outfield should be Brett Gardner in left, Granderson in center, Swisher in right.
Correct.
And, you know, you've got your infield set. That's not changing.
No.
And you get, you know, Francisco Cervelli behind the mound.
You have
Posada.
And Martin.
Posada and Martin splitting the DH. And, you know, maybe bring up a guy like Jesus Montero this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he won't make it during the season, but during the September call-ups, he'll be an interesting play.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the numbers now. I'm flabbergasted by how much speed there is in the outfield, and how after like the top 15 guys, there's a huge drop off in power.
Mm-hmm. Huge drop off in power and huge rise in stolen bases.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, but you know what are you gonna do? Anyway, I think we're out of time today.
Okay.
So I think it's exciting. There's a lot of good talent in the outfield this year. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, like we've been talking about, you know, if you can get your power in the infield, that's probably the best move you can make, just because of so much depth in the outfield as far as, you know, runs, stolen bases. So just, you know,
draft power early in the infield and get your steals in the outfield, wait on starting pitching, and don't pay for saves.
Okay? Exactly.
You know, take a tip from great fantasy writer Matthew Berry, don't pay for saves. Anyway, we're out of time for today. We hope you enjoyed the show. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Touch 'Em All Mario. And you can follow Raffy at Sports Talk, W Raffy, RAFI. And email the show, touchemall@rocketmail.com. And, thank you to all our listeners and downloaders in China and Europe. We looked at our stats, and that was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
you guys out in Iowa, Kansas, Illinois, you know, we see you guys. Glad you guys are, you know, downloading and listening to the show. So
thanks for the support.
Thank you for the support, and keep downloading and listening, and we hope to get some feedback from you guys. Anyway, until next time, keep swinging for the fences.
Later.
Later.